Welcome to On Being Happier, Thinking with Heart and Mind, a podcast emphasizing the heart's role in happiness, in sound decision-making, and in being at our best. Hi, my name is Ron Schneebaum. I'm a physician, work at the outpatient arm of the Children's Hospital at Dartmouth, and serve on the clinical faculty at Dartmouth College's Geisel School of Medicine. I'm convinced that nothing's more important to the human psyche than love. I've worked at thinking with both heart and mind for over 40 years. While intellectual analysis generally carries the banner of thinker, to leave out the heart is to leave out something vital. Language reminds us of the importance of the heart. To do something half-heartedly or to not put our hearts into an activity means we didn't do it well. And to be heartless is not a compliment. We involve our hearts wherever we care the most, where heart and mind work together, we're happier, have richer relationships, and greater practical success. We are fully present and we are fully ourselves. It's the art of living well. Each episode of this podcast presents a different aspect of thinking with heart and mind. Together, I hope they paint a full and broad picture. I developed this podcast to not only describe a lost art, but to also offer challenges and tools that interested listeners can use to incorporate thinking with the heart and mind into all aspects of their lives. The ideas in this podcast are my own, and the stories have been altered to protect privacy. This podcast is not a substitute for medical advice. If you are experiencing significant difficulties, please seek professional help. I thank you for joining me on this venture. My very best and be well, Ron. Episode 12, Successful, Guilt-Free Inner Work with Heart and Mind. Some who come to my office come because they have headaches. My job is to sort out the cause of the headache and to develop a treatment plan. I start by asking focused questions, what's termed a medical history, and get a sense of why they came now, the severity of the headaches, the frequency of the headaches, the nature of the headaches, and all of the relevant factors that might help me to figure out what's going on. Headaches can be roughly divided into three main groups. There are the headaches that are caused by brain-based abnormalities. These are the most serious, but least common, of headaches. Migraines comprise another group of headaches. These are headaches with a unique pattern to them. Then there are the general headaches that are the most common and have many, many causes. Everything from physical illnesses to environmental causes to psychosocial reasons. After getting a history, I do a thorough neurologic exam looking for any signs that there might be a brain-based abnormality. Someone's balance could be off, their reflexes abnormal, or there might be findings in the eye showing signs of increased pressure in the brain. The person with the newly discovered brain-based abnormality would likely need hospitalization for further evaluation and treatment. Migraine headaches have a wide variety of treatments. These would be discussed and applied. And for the more general headache, an attempt would be made to figure out the cause and to offer the patients a treatment plan. This is the approach to headaches that I learned in medical school. To add heart to this means adding another layer. This layer can be understood through what the children I've cared for over the years have taught me about childhood play. When I ask young children what they like to do when they're with their friends, they look at me as if I ask the most absurd of all questions and say, play. As kids get to be 10 or 11, they tell me that they hang out. They no longer play. Childhood play is a time of total immersion in an activity where creativity reigns. A stick can be a boat, a bridge, a wand, and all the subsequent play weaves in and out from there. A second kind of play is imitative play, where children copy what they admire. For younger kids, play house, or they play school. As kids get older, They play dress up. If they have a piece of clothing, a hat, a scarf, an old pair of shoes, they play the adults that they love. As children get older, if they have a ball, a stick, or any piece of sporting equipment, they become the hero at the most critical moment in a world championship. When I apply play in my treatment of those with headaches, I play headache. I imagine that I'm the patient, and I take with that all that I can imagine of their worries, their concerns, and their thoughts about their present situation, including what I just told them. Using this, for the person who has a serious headache who needs to be hospitalized and further evaluated, I would think about their worries, their level of concern, and I would call them while they're at the hospital once they got settled. Not that I could necessarily add anything to their medical care, but I could answer their questions, review what's going on, and also simply let them know that I'm there and I care about them. With the other headaches, I developed a practice where I'd so immerse myself in the various kinds of headaches, I would approach their headaches as much as possible, as if I were the headache sufferer, and there was nothing more important to me than working with them and helping them through their difficulties. My sense is this makes a difference. To find practical solutions when thinking with the heart, we open ourselves to love and compassion and consider the other person. As we do that, love works through us to find an answer. To shape these insights, I need to open and to fill myself with light and love. The human eye serves as a wonderful model for the inner work needed to open ourselves to light and love. The pupil, the dark spot in the center of the eye, is completely clear. It's as clear as glass. It looks dark because there's no light inside. In the same way, if we looked at our window at nighttime from outside of our house, the window would appear black. If we shined the light through the window, we'd see what's on the back wall of our room. This clear space allows light to fill the eye. If the lens of the eye became clouded, what's called a cataract, light could no longer fully enter. What light is to the eye, love is to the human psyche. All of our self-doubt, self-criticism, and self-judgment acts as a cataract, blocking this love from entering. Inner work has to do with doing cataract surgery, with removing these blockages so that we can fill ourselves with love, our human birthright. The eye has a protective mechanism called the iris. That's the colored part around the pupil. If light is too bright, it will constrict so that we don't get overwhelmed. Where it's dark, the iris enlarges the pupil so that we can see in places where we wouldn't be able to see otherwise. With heart and mind working together, the iris is akin to the protection the mind provides. It recognizes if we're letting in too much light so that we don't open ourselves too wide and get flooded by more than we can manage. It also reminds us that we can have friends help us dig through certain areas, or we can do the work with a mental health professional. The light entering our eyes is universal. We all see the same light, but at the same time, there's something individual about it. Each one of us sees the world differently. In the same way, the love that enters our psyches is also universal. Here, too, we have the opportunity to absorb it, to fully take it in, and to make it our own and be ourselves. The podcast title, Successful Guilt-Free Inner Work with Heart and Mind, was specifically chosen to highlight another difference between thinking with intellect alone and working with heart and mind in partnership. For the intellect, these terms are clear and straightforward. If we wish to achieve a certain goal, we need to put in the required work and we succeed or not. If we don't succeed and we didn't put in the needed work, we'd feel guilty. When heart and mind work together, we can understand how we get to that title by again thinking of childhood play. While the 10 and 11-year-olds in my practice tell me they no longer play, the English language says something different. it keeps the word play when it refers to sports and musical instruments. We play a sport and we play a musical instrument. If there is a sport that we like to play, or if we enjoy playing a musical instrument, or we have a craft or a hobby that we really like, we'll notice that part of the enjoyment is built into the activity. The other part has to do with our being able to close ourselves off from everyday reality to sink ourselves into the activity at hand. This in itself is pleasurable. In order to get to that state, the more work that we put into preparation, the greater the chance that we'll be able to fall into a state that's called flow, those times when we're fully engrossed in what we're doing that we discussed in an earlier episode. And these make life's greatest moments. So we do preparatory work to enjoy the activity, but this work really isn't work. It's the creative work for which the English language really doesn't have a name. For work is generally thought of as drudgery. This isn't. With time, we also gain a measure of success. Now, this success isn't merely based on where we might rank in a championship series. We know for ourselves that we can play some of the pieces that we couldn't play before, or we can hit some of the shots that we couldn't hit, or we can make more complex patterns when we're knitting or weaving. That's the success that we feel. It's feeling like, this is good. I'm making progress. And we think to ourselves, I really like this activity. To see the idea of enjoyable work without any connection to guilt from yet another angle, imagine a dinner party that we held for some friends. It could be an outdoor barbecue or a formal dinner inside. With our heart and mind, we would do all the preparatory work. We would picture the party itself and the people we'd like to invite, and we'd also do the practical work of getting what we needed. Some of us who like to cook wouldn't even want anybody else in the kitchen helping us. We enjoy the work. Because we worked with both our hearts and minds in getting the practical details of the party organized and thinking about the people who'd be there and the mood we'd like to create, the party's success has inner and outer components. Our success has to do with feeling that it worked out perfectly. The food was right, we had enough, it was tasty, but the real measure of success was that people had a good time, for that's the only reason we threw the party. The imaginative play of children ripens into creative adult thinking. Einstein used such mental play when developing his theory of relativity through what he called thought experiments. In one, he imagined going so fast that he was catching up to a beam of light. While traveling at that speed, he made observations that hadn't been considered when seeing time and space from a usual earthly perspective. After making his observations, he then came back to Earth and made the calculations that verified his observations. We can use similar thought experiments to open ourselves to light and to see how to use light and love in everyday experience. Imagine that instead of chasing a beam of light, we hovered over our own life and pictured how it would feel to be completely filled with love. Not a love that we achieved because of any accomplishments, but a love that fills us because it's our birthright. Besides experiencing this state of love, we could also look at all the settings and situations of our lives and see how differently we would act if we felt that we were fully imbued with light and love. Einstein didn't rest with the concepts he developed. He rigorously worked out the mathematical calculations to back up his observations. If we work at incorporating light into our being and to thinking with heart and mind in all of our activities, with the same intensity and passion, and expect to take the needed and necessary time, we will reach levels of success that generally aren't imagined. We differ from Einstein, however, in that he was a genius. But here, we have even more talent than he did. No matter what sport we play, musical instrument we enjoy, or craft that we spend our time with, we're limited by our overall innate skill and ability. In the work of letting light and love into our being, however, we have immeasurable talent, because it's simply the art of being ourselves, and there's nobody who has greater talent for that than we do. With this effort, we will have richer relationships, greater outer success, and a closer connection to that transcendent entity called love. I developed this podcast to not only share my observations about thinking with heart and mind, but to also give interested listeners tools to use to put these ideas into practice. This episode has two exercises. The first one is about play and has two parts. The first part deals with an aspect of play that didn't get discussed in the episode, being a teammate. When we play with others, being a good teammate means not only do we strive to be our best, we also work to make our teammates as good as they can be. When we all work as a unit in this way, the whole experience improves. Look at the various settings and situations of your life. Think of the people involved as your teammates. Think about how you can keep your own skills and abilities while enabling others to shine. The second part of the exercise is to look at the places where you get stuck, the places in life where you feel you're a little too heavy. Think about how you can lighten them up. See how you can add a little bit of levity, a little bit of lightness to what's happening. Stretch your imagination. The second exercise is to do our own version of Einstein's thought experiments, and we can do this in several ways. One is to do what was described in the episode and feel yourself filled with love. If this is too hard to imagine, start small. Feel that the tip of your smallest finger is filled with love. Build from there. You can picture it as the warmth of the sun filling you. Work at this without in any way feeling discouraged. Real change can commonly take time. It took some 20 years from the first time Einstein imagined chasing this beam of light to having his theory published. But along the way and with effort, we will feel the difference. A second approach to this exercise is to imagine the qualities that you'd most dearly like to have, the ones that will really make you who you are at your very best. Consider yourself still hovering over your life, looking down at yourself. Think of what those qualities are and imagine having them. It's important to appreciate that here we're thinking about qualities, not abilities. So you can't be a better artist, a better teacher, a better worker. It's about having the qualities that allow you to live with who you are. This varies widely, so there's no one set approach. For some, one of the qualities might be to have more patience and more understanding. For others, it might be to have better resolve and to close relationships that don't work. Look at all of those and spend as much time as you like to build yourself into the person you'd like to be. In the second part of this exercise, imagine that you're now looking at your everyday life. Where would having these qualities enhance the way you live? In the third part of this exercise, imagine that you have these qualities, that you are your ideal self, and now you're looking down on the earth at your day-to-day events in all the various settings and situations. What would it take to switch and make these qualities more prominent? Working with these exercises will, over time, bring about the changes you'd like. You will become more and more yourself. To further help listeners working on these exercises, I've written them in the show notes. That way you can see them in front of you. You can also download them. The show notes can be found at the homepage of Apple and Spotify podcasts. They also can be found at this podcast website, ronschneebaummd.com, which can also be gotten to by searching for onbeinghappier.com. If you look that way, On Being Happier must be one word. In addition, with the show notes, I have several quotations about success, about inner work, about being guilt-free. I find these inspirational. I hope you enjoy them as well. At the website, I also have a picture with the words successful, guilt-free inner work with heart and mind. This picture comes as a small one and a larger one. The small one can be downloaded and used as wallpaper for your phone. The larger one can be downloaded and used as a screensaver for your tablet or laptop. I find that having a picture with the words of something I'm working on is a helpful reminder. If you have any questions about the content or about the exercises in this episode, please email me. You can email me at ron@onbeinghappier.com or ron@ronschneibaummd.com. In the subject line, put questions. If you have comments about this episode or thoughts about a future episode, email me with that, and in the subject line, put comments. If you'd like to receive a newsletter, which I plan on putting out every month or two, write newsletter in the subject line, and I'll see to it that you get it. I try to post these podcasts on the 1st and 15th of each month. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. I am the sole person who does the podcast. I do the editing. I do the sound quality. I do all of it. And besides the content, that work takes time as well. I developed a cold, for example, while recording this one. It was nothing major, but I was filled with sniffles and a cracked voice. I re-recorded it once my voice was almost back, and this took extra time. I developed a podcast because the idea that full human thinking is a partnership between a well-developed intellect and a caring and compassionate heart is important for both individual and societal well-being. The podcast is not monetized, and I have no intention of making money from it. It's simply my gift. If you like it, share it. Share it with friends, share it with colleagues, share it with family, share it with anyone who you think would be interested. Because of your sharing, this podcast is heard across the United States and worldwide. I'm so grateful for the sharing that you do. As I develop these podcast episodes, I think of all of you. Another way that helps people come to the podcast is by leaving a review at Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you like it, do that as well. The space between episodes allows listeners to work on these ideas so they can be incorporated into your life. If you're streaming podcasts, I suggest that instead of going from one episode to another, you spend some time with it so that you can think about the concepts presented in each episode. I enjoy spending this time with you. I hope that listening to these podcasts lightens your day and helps your life. I look forward to the next time we get together. Until then, my very best and be well, Ron. Thank you.